Locked On Podcast Network crossovers continue. My guest today is Gino Camilleri. He's the co-host of Locked On Eagles. You can find him at Gino_LOE on Twitter. You can also find their Twitter handle for the show at Locked On Birds. And of course, look, not everyone has the blessings of being a 49ers fan. So if you know somebody who's an Eagles fan, let them know that their team is covered daily here on the network with Locked On Eagles. Gino, how are you, sir? Thanks for joining me and doing a crossover here. These are fun.
Absolutely. I kind of like doing this one because one of my good friends from high school, he was an Eagles fan and we were big Eagles fans together. And then he left to be a 49ers fan. And we've kind of had this little rivalry going back and forth for a while. So I always like these games. I like you guys out in the West Coast. I root for you whenever you're playing a team like Seattle that I can't stand to see win. So I'm deep down a little bit of a Niners fan myself. I mean,
what is a Seahawk anyway? An Eagles away cooler bird.
Oh, yeah, it's the national bird of the country, man. I mean, I don't know why we're not America's team, but, hey, we'll have that discussion on our show sometime.
Oh, yeah, well, hey, look, and we have, like, the general 49ers fan base, even within the division, it's kind of the Seahawks is the big rival now. It's not even the L.A. teams like it used to be. But, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys is as big of a rival as anybody. So I think we can sort of get together on that as well, right, with Eagles fans?
Oh, always. Yeah, no, that's kind of the one that's gone back way back when. I mean, the Super Bowls that they've played in and just the collection of championships. I hope the Eagles get there one day. But yeah, when you're looking at teams that really have dominated multiple stretches, I think the Niners have adapted in a way, especially now. I mean, you look at what John Lynch and Shanahan have done there. They're at the forefront of being proactive in this league. And you see, I mean, we'll talk about it, what the Eagles have done. They've done a lot of the same things that the Niners have done the last couple of years and acquiring speed and athleticism. And they're really this new wave, like the new kids on the block with Shanahan there, of taking over the NFL. And I love to see it because I love offensive football. I'm a Pac-12 guy myself. I'm an Oregon fan. So, I mean, we see 60, 70 point games out of the Ducks all the time. So yeah. I love seeing fast paced throwing the ball football.
Yeah, it's interesting. And there are some similarities. In fact, the 49ers sent the Eagles one of their veteran wide receivers. We'll talk about that. I want to talk about the Eagles draft as well. We mentioned the Cowboys there. What the heck is going on in the NFC East? We're going to be hearing from NFC East teams all week here on Lockdown 49ers. But, I mean, the Eagles were a huge disappointment, right? Last year, they disappointed me, even though they still, you know, were 9-7, which isn't a great record, but finished first in the East and then got bounced in the playoffs. But where did you expect the Eagles to be last year? And do you think if it was better than 9-7, do you think they can get there this year? And why would that be?
When I looked at this team going into last year, I'm a big fan of analytics. I'm taking an analytics course right now through the University of Cambridge. I read all the Over the Cap and all those team building style books. And one that I love is from Warren Sharp. He puts it out every offseason. And the Eagles, they had this big red, it was this big red illustration, and they were 32nd in the league in 2018 in man games lost. You know what they're going to be this year? Probably 31st or 32nd because the injuries once again absolutely killed them. And yeah, I was disappointed in 9-7, but halfway through the year, I live right out in Buffalo here, and me and my co-host, we had another podcast group come in, and we were talking to them. And at the time, it was the difference between going to 4-4 or going to 3-5. And at that point, we were like, okay, what's the draft choice going to be? Are we going to be in the early teens or what's going to happen? And then all of a sudden, Carson Wentz did what Carson Wentz can do and led this team of absolutely nobody with Deontay Burnett and Shelton Gibson at wide receiver to a playoff run. And unfortunately, Wentz goes out. But to me, they were playing with house money down the stretch there. I really like the things that they did this offseason. And the one thing harping on that injury history, they brought in a whole new medical staff. They brought in a head doctor, a brand new, I think it's a nutritionist or physical therapy director. And hopefully they can keep their guys on the field because to me, on paper, as a defense, they have a top five on paper defense, in my opinion, just between their front, between what they have at safety, bringing in Darius Slay, it's huge. And then on offense, I mean, you bring back four out of your five on your offensive line. You hopefully get better at the wide receiver position, and you have a young star in Miles Sanders back there. And to me, with Wentz, as long as he's on the field, you have a chance to win. So to me, with an easier schedule, in my opinion, playing the AFC North this go around. You'll have some easier games like the Bengals, hopefully the Browns, and we always usually dominate Pittsburgh, so hopefully that goes our way. But to me, with the schedule that we have, with the nice bye week right in the middle, a stretch of home games, three home games in a row right before a bye, a nice stretch in December where they play some tough NFC teams, which will really help them in regards to getting a spot in the conference. So I think the Eagles, if they keep their team on the field, which is a big if, they can make moves this year. And I think Dallas will be stiff competition, but to me, the Eagles are a more complete team at this time. I think Dallas definitely has a lot of questions on their defense, but their offense scares the daylights out of me.
There's a couple of things I want to get into that you mentioned there. One was the defensive secondary, and they didn't really go heavy in the secondary in the draft. Slay, obviously, mm-hmm. the big move there. Do you think that is enough? Do you think they've got enough cover guys back there now to be a huge upgrade over what they had last year?
I think they have enough cover guys now to run the type of system that Jim Schwartz wants, which it has been quite some time. I mean, the last time he had a corner that really could travel with somebody was all the way back in Tennessee when he had Cortland Finnegan. And now I think you have Darius Slay, who can really be your field defender and then do what you want on the other side on the boundary. And one big thing that they did this offseason was kind of moving away from just a pure free safety and strong safety style player. And they've gone to these hybrid. You look at guys they brought in like Will Parks. They drafted Kevon Wallace, who at Clemson in that defense did all different sorts of things. They brought back Jalen Mills, who they said is going to play this Malcolm Jenkins-esque style role, who played more linebacker than he ever did safety here in Philadelphia. So now I think with Slay, you have one half of the field taken care of, and now you can kind of counteract your weak points, which are your CB2, which are your, I wouldn't say top safeties, but I mean, Ronnie McLeod's probably a top 20 safety in my opinion, and beyond that, they don't have really much there proven, but to me, they can do a lot of things with versatile pieces that they have on their defense to hopefully lock down that other side of the field and really allow their front four, which they have put so much money into the past couple off seasons, mm-hmm. between their top three defensive tackles, they're paying like $45 million between Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, and Javon Hargrave, all guys that are going to disrupt in the interior. They extended Brandon Graham a few off seasons ago, and then they just picked up Derek Barnett's option. So your top five guys on the defensive line are making near $70 million. So that's really where they're going to make their money. And Schwartz, he hasn't had the coverage in the secondary to allow his front four to hit home. I expect the Eagles' numbers to rise a ton in the sack and QB hit department. Even though QB hits was still high, I just think now with the emphasis that Schwartz puts on pressure and having somebody like Slay, because, I mean, I'm not saying Slay is the best cornerback in the league, but he's definitely a top 10 guy in my opinion. He's definitely better than what we've had since all the way back to the days of Asante Samuel. And even if you could get a guy to be in coverage for a third of a second longer, your defensive line is going to reap the rewards from that. And especially in a division where you have some younger quarterbacks and you have a guy like Dak Prescott, who he's a running style quarterback, and you're going to need him to make those decisions to either pull the ball and really make Dallas be left-handed in a sense.
It's NFC West, NFC East crossover week here on the Locked On Podcast Network. More with Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles coming up. This episode is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Built Bars are tasty and Built Bars are healthy. If you're looking for that energy, you need a snack. This is ideal, the ideal snack for me, because it tastes good, but it's not heavy. It's not going to get stuck in your teeth. You can power one down and go do whatever you need to do. If it's work, if it's a workout, high in protein, low in sugar. That I can't stress this enough. Low in sugar. It's not dessert. It's actually good for you. But it tastes so good. It's like, how is there only 110 calories, 4 grams of sugar in this thing? This morning, trying to get some podcasts going, didn't have breakfast, so I went with the Mint Brownie Delight, which was fantastic. Only 110 calories, 15 grams of protein, and only 4 grams of sugar. So low calorie, low sugar, low carb, but high in protein, high in fiber, exactly what you need in a snack. And the best part is if you go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code Locked On. That's one word, Locked On, for $10 off. And build your own box at BuiltBar.com. It's an interesting position that more and more teams are employing around the league. There's definitely some similarities to roster building with the Eagles and the 49ers. You mentioned that defensive front, and the 49ers, it's been the same way, putting tons and tons of resources into the defensive line, where that is the strength of the team that can carry you as long as you get good play out of your quarterback and your offensive coordinator and your coaching staff for the offensive side of the ball. I think everything falls into place if your defense is dominating, your defensive line is dominating, because it makes everybody else's job easier on the back end of your defense. So definitely some similarities there with the 49ers and the Eagles. You mentioned Carson Wentz, and he's had the injuries and, you know, obviously a lot of injury problems there on the Eagles roster. But Carson Wentz is a big one. Let's go to the draft a little bit. I want to talk about the wide receivers and the speed that was added to the Eagles that the 49ers will see. And the 49ers obviously famously faced a ton of speed in the Super Bowl. And I think a lot of teams are sort of starting to copy that mold of the 49ers and the Chiefs. And we just talked about it with the Eagles. They're doing both defensive line and speed. And tons of teams this offseason have focused on speed with their receivers, focused on building the beastliest defensive line they can. And I think it's a smart strategy by the Eagles. But first, let's focus on quarterback. Carson Wentz, injury history. Is that the driving force behind drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round, quarterback out of Oklahoma? Or did they just want to have... Because, I mean, drafting a second round quarterback, generally in the NFL, you're saying we are drafting a future star or a guy that we think can be a starting quarterback in the league. Do they want a backup who is a starting caliber quarterback because of how often Wentz has been hurt? Are they looking down the road at Wentz thinking, I don't know if we can pay this guy all this money if he's going to continually be banged up? Do they have other plans for Jalen Hurts to be sort of a backup that still plays? Because most backups just stand on the sideline holding a clipboard. That's not great use of a second round pick if Wentz is not hurt.
Definitely. At the time, I was blown away. I really was shocked at the pick. And I mean, when it was all said and done, they walked away with nine other guys and a pretty nice UDFA class that wasn't Jalen Hurts. But to me, I'm a big, big critic of team building and how teams should properly build. And to me, the backup quarterback position, especially in Philadelphia, has been such a necessity within the last few years. And this hasn't been a team building mantra for the last two or three years. I mean, you go back to the early 2010s, they paid Michael Vick to come in here and play a similar role when they had a younger Nick Foles there and a younger Kevin Cobb. They bring in Nick Foles in the third round, who was only taken 26 picks after Jalen Hurts. But I know people get caught up on a second versus a third round selection, which to me, I base more picks on value than anything. And they've spent a lot of money at that backup position. And now in this post-Carson Wentz contract extension world, which you know so very well with Jimmy Garoppolo and his extension, that you're not going to be able to afford these luxury positions, which you have in the past. So to me, selecting Jalen Hurts, you're getting a young quarterback that could come in who was, as opposed to the other guys that went after him, far superior to them in terms of talent and athleticism, as opposed to a guy like Jake Fromm or Jacob Eason, who I wanted no part of the Eagles drafting. So to me, not only do you draft a young guy who will be cost controlled, but the Eagles have brought in a lot of individuals in this offseason who have been around these mobile quarterback systems and have implemented them into offenses that already have a capable passer. If you look at Marty Morningwig, who they brought in, they promote Press Taylor within their system, who back in last June said that getting two guys on the field is the future of the NFL. They bring in Andrew Briner, I think his name is, out of Mississippi State. He was under Joe Moorhead there, who was famous for last season getting Tommy Stevens into a Taysom Hill style of role. So you have all of these minds there that, yeah, they don't have like a Kyle Shanahan who's just like a golden child of designing offensive plays, but they have now brought in three or four guys in this offseason who can create this brain trust around their idea of what they want the quarterback position to be. And if you look back to 2017, when Nick Foles went on that run, they had Frank Reich and John DeFilippo, who planned perfectly for Nick Foles' strengths. Now with Jalen Hurts, I think you have a guy that if Carson Wentz were to get injured, which I do not think he's injury prone, I think that he's just been unfortunate in the injuries that he has gone into in his career. I mean, especially that hit from Jadeveon Clowney, like nobody can expect that to happen. And kind of being rushed back by the organization end up hurting his back. But to me, when he's on the field, he's a player you win because of. And when he's at the top of his game, and you saw it in 2017, he played at near an elite level. And now you bring in all of these weapons in Jalen Reagor. You trade for Marquise Goodwin. You have a healthy DeSean Jackson. Hopefully Alshon Jeffrey can come back and be a factor. Have very good tight ends in Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. And you brought in two more speed guys in John Hightower and Quez Watkins later in the draft. Like you said, teams in your conference have had trouble defending these speed teams. Look at the Super Bowl. The Chiefs going against the Niners. And how much speed can factor in the blink of an eye when you just need an explosive play to happen. If you've watched the Eagles the last few years, it's kind of been like just penguins waddling around. Like they're very slow and plodding and they really can't stretch the field. But when they were the best was when they had a guy who at the time wasn't even considered a top field stretcher and Torrey Smith come in here and absolutely change the game plan. Now you have a 4x100 Olympic team out there at wide receiver. The game plan is endless to me because now you can allow Miles Sanders to continue to improve in his role, do a lot of those things in the passing game, which he excelled at last year. You can now open up the field for Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz so they're not getting double covered as often. And you're going to see Carson Wentz increase his yards per attempt next year drastically. So to me, best case scenario is Jalen Hurts does not come in at all besides to run these package plays that these offensive guys like Marty Morningwig and Andrew Briner and Press Taylor have implemented. So to me, from a team building aspect, you're getting a top 30. I think Lewis Riddick put it perfect. The top 30 position on a football team in the second round at a cost controlled value, who is a player that has unbelievable athleticism that if your quarterback were to go down, could come in big moments, which he has in that SEC championship game against Georgia when Tua went down. So to me, this pick, even though it was in the second round, even though it may be a little bit rich for some people's blood, in terms of what Howie Roseman has done from his time in player personnel, this is right on par with a Howie Roseman move.
It's interesting because the 49ers have had some trouble, as good as their defensive line was last year, with more athletic quarterbacks. So I could see that there absolutely being a package against the 49ers in that Week 4 primetime Sunday Night Football matchup, which should be a really good indicator of how these teams are playing early on in the year. I could see Jalen Hurd getting in there. I still get Jalen Hurd and Jalen Hurts mixed up all the time. And even back in their college days, I thought they were the same guy about 5 years ago. And the 49ers drafted Jalen Hurd last year. So I'm going to call Jalen Hurts Jalen Hurd all the time. It's just going to happen. But I could see Jalen Hurts having some packages and giving the 49ers some problems because as beastly as their defensive line is, chasing down athletic quarterbacks gave them some problems last year. You dropped Kevin Cobb, by the way. I haven't heard that name in so long. He had a lot of fans for a long time. And it's amazing how it seems like ages ago that Kevin Cobb was in the NFL, but it actually wasn't even that long ago. There's one matchup I'm really psyched about watching in Week 4 when the Eagles visit the 49ers. I want to talk about that wide receiver depth chart. So you mentioned all of the speed that was brought in, and I just want to go down the list here of some of the speedy wide receivers that are now in Philly. Jalen Reagor, first round pick, 21 overall. Then they came back with John Hightower, 4'4 guy, Quez Watkins, 4'3 guy in the draft. They traded up, or they traded down in the sixth round with the 49ers when the Niners sent Marquise Goodwin to Philly. So now you have DeSean Jackson and you have all four of those speedy wide receivers added to Alshon Jeffrey, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Deontay Burnett that you mentioned before. It's a really interesting group of wide receivers. How many of those guys are actually going to make the roster, and what do you see that depth chart looking like in Week 4 when the 49ers are taking on the Eagles on Sunday Night Football?
I think you've seen the direction that they want to go at wide receiver, and that is with that speed and athleticism. So to me, they're still paying Alshon Jeffrey, so I still believe he's going to be on the team. JJ, I believe, will get at least one more season to prove his worth. then of course Jalen Reagor will be on the team. Of course, DeSean Jackson will be on the team. I would presume that Marquise Goodwin is a near lock to make the team. And then it comes down to, okay, John Hightower, Quez Watkins, Deontay Burnett, Shelton Gibson, Greg Ward, who I would give the upper hand to Ward to make the team out of all of them. But, man, if you really want to keep John Hightower and Quez Watkins to be a backup in case one of those guys goes down, I presume one of those two is going to make the team, and then the other one will probably bump down to the practice squad. But in all honesty, you're going to see a lot of Alshon Jeffrey at the X position, and then they're going to move Jalen Reagor, Marquise Goodwin, and DeSean around and do a lot of things, moving them in and out of reduced splits, moving them in and out of the slot. And you're going to see a lot of speed on this Eagles offense, which you haven't seen in a while, which is going to open up the playbook and really allow those two tight ends, which they love to run this offense through the middle of the field, really open it up for them. And don't forget about Miles Sanders. I mean, he had an unbelievable rookie season. He was our leading receiver for receptions over 30 yards, which is unbelievable to even say out loud, and even unbelievable to see on tape how bad they were vertically. Now you have all of these vertical elements, which are very, very fast. I mean, Marquise Goodwin is an Olympic sprinter. As long as they can stay on the field, because I know a lot of them have question marks, it's going to be let's get this ball down the field and correct the wrongs that we had from 2018 and 2019, where it was a six-yard gain to Zach Ertz, a five-yard slant to Greg Ward, give the ball to Miles Sanders, another 5 yards on a pass. They're going to be having big explosive plays, much like they did against Washington week one last year when DeSean was healthy for the only game he played in.
Real quick, just some early matchups to look forward to in this week four matchup. October 4th, Sunday Night Football, the Eagles at the 49ers visiting Levi's Stadium. The 49ers lucked out with their 5 primetime games. 4 of those are at home. I want to know how the development of second-year left tackle Andre Dillard is going, because I think that's my favorite matchup to watch in this game, is Nick Bosa, second-year defensive end, usually lines up on the right side against second-year first-round left tackle Andre Dillard. That's going to be a fun one for me to watch. How do you expect Dillard to play this year, and how did he look as a rookie?
Man, this is one of the biggest question marks we have on this team, because there's so much noise coming out about Andre Dillard, and maybe the team isn't overly in love with him as many people think he is. He doesn't have this ability to anchor as well as some had thought. He had a game where they wanted to switch him to right tackle, where they ended up benching him mid-game because he just wasn't doing it for him. So to me, yes, it's an intriguing matchup, but we're going to see in the first 3 weeks how Andre Dillard does, because if you're going to go against Washington, the Rams, and Cincinnati, you'll be okay with him at left tackle if he really comes out and has question marks. But when you go against that front of the Niners, who can just run 8-9 guys in and out of rotation, if you're going to have to throw help to his way, man, you could get down easily against that Niners team. And your defense, which we're going to see how they react to speed now with the addition of Slay and this new defensive format that they're going to run with all of these hybrid type players, it could be either a blowout or a high-end defensive matchup as long as the Eagles' line stays healthy. But outside of Dillard, I think the other 4 positions are pretty set in stone, and they're very good players in their own right. But to me, I liked what I saw out of Dillard last year. I don't have as many question marks as people do. Definitely has to get stronger, so we'll see how the offseason goes when he gets back into the building. But to me, I mean, in a class that was deep at tackle, and he gets drafted in the first round when there were other players like Juwan Taylor on the board, I still like the kid. I think he has a lot to prove still, especially in the run department. But as a pass protector, you saw what he did at Washington State, and that translates easily to an offense that Doug Peterson likes to run. So I just continue to give him reps. He's not going to have Jason Peters coming in and out of games where he has to get off the bench and go in there without really planning for the week to play left tackle. So to me, I believe Dillard is the future there still, and I'm excited to see how he pans out this year.
Yeah, and they traded up to get him to get in front of the Texans
exactly
last year. It's interesting because there was some rumors about that Andre Dillard might have been available for trade right around draft time, and I just saw an article yesterday, I think, that the Eagles are still keeping in touch with Jason Peters, and there's still potential there. That doesn't sound like a team that's completely sold on Andre Dillard. So that, there is some interesting whispers coming out of Philly that make you wonder a little bit about him.
Absolutely. This organization always keeps people on their toes, that's for sure. I mean, just when you think you trade up and now you have your left tackle of the future, which would only be the third left tackle in the past two decades to be your starter, I think a team that is drafted as well at that position as the Eagles really wouldn't have questions, but now we do. But we'll see. I always trust Howie. That's the thing with me. I will always believe in him until he gives me a reason not to. Dillard, I like what I saw in the games that he played in. He went against some high-end players, Khalil Mack, Everson Griffin. He's going to be okay. To me, he's going to be okay. I think people are a little tough on him. He was just a rookie coming out of a system that they knew they would have to do a lot of work with him. Give him a full offseason. Get him stronger. I believe he has all the tools there to be just fine at left tackle.
Any other matchups you're excited for in this week four primetime matchup with the Eagles and the 49ers?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe, especially when your defense or when our defense lines up against your offense, how we react to the speed out of the backfield, because they've done a lot of time investing in players that have range that could get from the interior at that point of attack to get outside the numbers. And when you're going against a stretch and an outside zone team like the Niners, if you don't have players that can get to the edge or even set an edge or get off a block for that matter to get to the running back, you're going to see a ton of home run plays, because Darius Slay, yeah, he's a good tackler on the edge, but Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas, they definitely have question marks. And Jalen Mills, who was the most sure-handed tackler on an island last year, now moves to the interior at that safety linebacker hybrid. So to me, it's do these linebackers that you brought in, Davian Taylor, Sean Bradley, can they get outside as your will or strong side linebackers and defend against the Niners run? Because to me, that's where things get opened up, and that's where you can really see those guys like Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, who I absolutely adored in this draft cycle, take advantage of them getting into space and just using their yak ability to create nightmares.
Yeah, you guys actually selected Brandon Ayuk, right, at pick 21 in our Locked On NFL mock draft special. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Me and Lou loved him. Like I said, I'm a Pac-12 guy, so I'd known about Ayuk for the past couple years. And to me, he's everything that Deebo Samuel was and everything the Eagles wanted in that style of player, somebody that you can just get the ball to them in their hands, have a strong lower half, have freakish length and freakish ability to catch the ball out in front of them over the middle. And you see what happens when you have players that can win those one-on-one matchups. They go to the Super Bowl. You look at Tyreek Hill. You look at Mecole Hardman. You look at any running back on the Niners. You look at Deebo Samuel. Look at Emmanuel Sanders, who was there last year. Guys that can win, create separation, and just give defenses fits. Because to account for the run and the pass against a team as fast as the 49ers, you got to have some guys that can scoot on that defense. And we'll truly see if the Eagles did enough in that department, especially in week four.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see that burst on the field for the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk, and we'll see if he earns himself a starting job next to Deebo Samuel in time for that week four matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles. That is Gino Camilleri, co-host of Locked On Eagles. Gino, thank you so much for the time. Look forward to talking with you guys the week of that week four matchup with the 49ers and Eagles.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me on. I think it's going to be a big test of potentially being a decider of placement in the playoffs. I think the Eagles and Niners, two of the most well-structured, well-run organizations in the NFL. I'm really excited to see this matchup because, to me, I call this a benchmark game. If you don't come out and perform against a team that just went to the Super Bowl, who has gone out and retooled to be even better on paper to a degree, you're going to have a tough time competing, not just in the NFC, but for a Super Bowl title, which this team is looking to build on as of what they did a couple years ago.
Absolutely. And looking at the early part of the season, it's one of the most fun contests to begin the year. So you hope that it is a full NFL schedule and we actually get to see this one play out.
Fingers crossed, man.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Gino, we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you.